You guys remember last time we talked about Humble Choice and how we, none of us, had canceled before the
I
end
don't
of
like, you know,
time.
I don't like the spirit of this question or the
So I would like to know,
tone.
did you or did you not remember to cancel last time, or did you not cancel for because you actually wanted it?
I don't know.
Because I did not.
I just pulled up my purchased or my purchases on Humble.
Thank you.
What's my password? I mean, this is why I
And
didn't cancel.
also, will you or will you not be canceling this month? Because I think, is it already too late today? Wait.
No, you did it today, didn't you?
I didn't.
Oh, for God's sake.
So first of all, I don't know if I canceled or not. I think I skipped a month. Gosh, dang it, it's active.
Wow. Yeah, it looks like I have paid for every month this year, Rip. Well, welcome to the show, everyone. This is the Backlog Bunch, where we talk about games, backlogs, and today how to balance hobbies, gaming, and responsibilities in life, things like that. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. Today on the show, we have myself, Crimbo, we have Bagu, and then we have Nikki
Hello.
and Asara. So we are here, and we're going to start by talking about just kind of like an update on our individual backlogs and some of the games that we've been playing. Oh, actually, wait, I wanted to say this really quick. In the last episode, which was, 77 years ago, we were going to do a spooky episode. We talked about doing like a stream of the haunted PS1 demo disc, and basically a bunch of things came up and we all got busy in our individual lives and just did not have a time to get together to record. So we're just going to pretend like we never said any of those things, just like so many US politicians. So here we go. We're going to now go to what we've been playing. So I don't know if you'd call it beat technically, because there's like 12 different character paths. But I consider that I have beat Dragon Ball Sparking Zero.
Nice.
I finished Goku's story path. And if you've played any Dragon Ball games before, it's essentially retreading the familiar ground of the Dragon Ball Z TV series, and in this case also Dragon Ball Super. So it's a lot of the same stories with Frieza and Cell and Majin Buu, and just all the things that are familiar to Dragon Ball fans. This game is unique in that not only can you play through the series as Vegeta or other side characters in the show, there's also these like alternate timelines where it's like, okay, what if Goku decided to go beat Cell by himself instead of letting his son beat Cell? So it actually has these very interesting things in the main story where you can kind of branch off, and sometimes it's just like it branches off into like another battle or two, and sometimes you might have like 15 battles that kind of branch off of the main story, and it sort of creates its own brand new narrative, which is, as a longtime fan of the series, is very, very fun for me. So that game is great. It's really not, I don't consider it like technically a fighter. I think it's a little busted and imbalanced to be, along the same lines of something like Mortal Kombat or a Soul Calibur or Street Fighter or something like that. So that is Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. And the other game that I just finished that I really wanted to talk about is called Escape from Mistwood Mansion. I picked this up in an escape room bundle that Humble was running recently.
Much money do we spend on Humble? Feels like we should be sponsored. Can you contact them for a sponsorship or something?
I really should. Except I'm really sad because they like kind of shuttered their Humble games. publishing division.
I'm still surprised by that.
Wait. It sounds very on brand for a backlog support group to be supported by a bundle website. No?
That's like, true.
You're just feeding into people's addiction.
I think that's our the reality of what we're doing here.
Yes.
Okay.
So escaping from that side topic there and back to Escape from Mistwood Mansion. It's actually very similar in the vein to, I did a YouTube video about this one a while ago, but Locke, which is a it's like a fan-made first person sort of like escape room game that you can access through Dreams on PS4 and PS5. You are a delivery driver who's taking an Amazon box into this mansion to deliver it. The door locks behind you, and you have to figure out how to get out of the mansion. So there's a lot of puzzles, finding keys, just trying to sort things out. And it was very, very fun and engaging for me. It's a pretty short play. I think you get it done in probably maybe 4 or 5 hours. Each room is different. So there's like a different theme. So the first one is you're just in sort of like the foyer of the building. And then I want to say the next one is like, it's kind of like this big library. And the next area is like a wine cellar. The next one's like this like greenhouse area. So they're all like fun and unique in their own way. Excuse me. And just exciting to solve the puzzles. You might have to like turn a painting and then organize all these different photographs in a certain way. And then that will like trigger something to unlock, you know, the next piece that you need to complete some puzzle in another room. And there's a lot of little hidden achievements and things like that. If you're into escape rooms, it was very, 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 very much in line with what I enjoy in a puzzle game.
How would you say it differs from other like escape room games? Because I feel like they tend to get kind of samey in some way.
Yeah.
Great cue.
Another one I've played, so I've played like a lot of the Rusty Lake series. If you played those,
they look really good.
Yeah, they're very fun, very creepy. Those, I think, because it's more of like a point and click, sort of like 2D interface. The reason something like Mistwood Mansion sticks out to me is because it's 3D, it's in first person. You really feel like Batman. You feel like you're walking through the mansion. And I think that like first person element adds a lot to kind of like the exploration of it, where like, you know, in Rusty Lake or another like 2D kind of escape room, you're just kind of clicking around. In this one, you might, you know, hug a wall and then crouch, and then you can see like a little piece of paper off in the corner that you wouldn't have seen before. So it's like where you stand matters. And yeah, so I think it feels a little bit more immersive in that regard.
That's one of those genres. I see you and our other friend Wes, like you guys will play those puzzle escape room games a lot together.
Yeah.
And that's one of, like, for me, it's like, that's a thing I'm very glad you enjoy.
Yeah. We've also played escape. I can't remember what they're all called, but we've played Escape Simulator and Escape Academy. And
are they the games where the, like, people make their own escape rooms?
Yes, Escape Simulator is that. Escape Academy is kind of like stylized. It has like a narrative, and I don't know. I don't generally go in a puzzle game for a narrative. Escape Simulator, and I'd say this is different from that also because, one, it's not cooperative. But Escape Simulator, you're really just in one room the whole time, and it's usually a small room.
Yeah.
So I, I liked that in this one you're exploring larger areas and it didn't feel as sort of cramped. It's like if you get stuck on one puzzle, you know, just walk across the room and work on another one for a little bit. Sara, what have you been up to?
Well, I recently finished off the 30 days, 30 games challenge that we had been doing. So a lot of small games. But since then, I have been gone back to Jurassic World Evolution to mop up the rest of the achievements that I needed. And today, actually, I finished the last of the non-challenge mode achievements. So now I just have to do some challenge runs, and then I will have finally 100%ed that game after, I'm going to say it's probably going to be 150 hours before I'm done.
Wow. That's a couple hours.
Just a few. But it's definitely not stopping me from wanting to then immediately move on to 2 or some other zoo game. The itch has not yet been scratched for zoo management games.
That's a lot of hours for a zoo management game.
Yeah, well, this one had 3 story DLC, and each of those were 10 or so hours plus the challenge runs that I still have to do. So
wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool.
It's fascinating. I feel like when I have played like a tycoon game, or actually like even like Planet Coaster, I feel like I'm pretty burnt out on that genre for a while.
Same.
So
this
the way you describe it really makes it sound like it's that good or like that immersive that you want to like keep staying in that kind of genre.
So to comment on that, I think this is just because Asara is obsessed with dinosaurs and she can look at dinosaurs in this game and that will keep her motivated no matter how good the game is. Mm. Remember, this is the woman that has a game about Tamagotchis with dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tamagotchi?
That she bought on purpose.
Not like most of the games I bought this year, which were completely on accident.
The second game does have different dinosaurs and prettier dinosaurs, so that may, yes, be part of the motivation.
Mm.
But we've also been playing the other dinosaur game.
It's not enough dinosaurs.
It's also a management game.
That's true. You can talk about that one.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you can go next, Nikki. Let's hear about it.
Sure. Well, I've also finished the 30 games for 30 days challenge, and I must admit that after doing that and kind of pushing myself to play something new every day, I kind of burned out on gaming a little bit. Or not completely, but burned out on starting new games.
I mean, yeah, a little bit. Makes sense.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah. I will say, though, what I learned is that most of the Humble Trove games that I played during that were actually really good. So I think I might want to play through all of them. Mm. Some honorable mentions would be Keyboard Sports, which was really fun. If anybody has Humble Trove, which, I mean, we all do, it seems.
Yeah.
Go play Keyboard Sports. It's like a weird game where you have to use your entire keyboard as like where you move the main character using the buttons on your keyboard. So like if you want him to move to the right side of the screen, you would maybe click enter or maybe click caps lock to move him to the left side of the screen. And they do a lot of fun stuff with that. And it's very short. And it's experimental and fun.
Oh, so. This is from the same developers that did What the Golf.
Yes.
Which, have you played that? Sense. I really enjoyed What the Golf. I didn't finish it, but
this feels kind of like a demo, and it kind of says in the end of it that the full game releasing soon, but they never did. But it doesn't really matter. It's interesting enough as is. So. I also play 20 Minute Metropolis, and I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you might have done.
Darn.
It was it was interesting, but then I think the whole score-based system just doesn't motivate me much.
Yeah,
in the sandbox mode.
Trying to remember, is there an end state in that game?
No, there's the tutorials, which I would count as kind of a campaign.
Yeah.
And then you just have the sandbox mode where you have the 20 minutes to build as far as you can. And I guess I did that once and then was like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah, I seem to remember there being you could kind of soft lock yourself in terms of the resources you need to. So it.
True.
It didn't feel like, I don't know. There definitely could be with some more development tweaks to.
Oh yeah, for sure.
To fix some of those issues, it kind of feels unfinished in that way.
Yeah, and very unbalanced too.
Yes, yes.
And tell us about the Dino game.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So this is a game that I.
The stars have been we have not talked about dinosaurs for about 10 minutes,
and can you please talk about the dinosaurs?
She's just nodding over there.
I love it so much.
This is a game that I recently bought. However, it was a game that I grew up with, that I kind of borrowed from the library. And I never heard much about it after I couldn't borrow it anymore. I guess some kid somewhere just ruined it. Anyway. It's this weird game called Dino Island, and it's just a zoo game with dinos, and then you can zap them and mix them and create weird hybrids, and yeah, and the campaign is really, really, really hard. It's stupidly hard.
Dino Island?
Dino Island, yeah.
That's not the Jurassic Park tie-in, is it?
Very much no.
No,
is this from 2002?
Yes.
Oh my.
What's up?
It just.
Do you know this game?
No, I've never heard of it before, but. Yeah, it seems like it would be difficult. It just looks a little. Just seems like
it's wild. Has some
retro flair to it.
Oh yeah. And. I think the hard part about the game is that it's just can you help me, Sarah? How do I explain how it's hard? Because it's
so incredibly obscure, and there's nothing online at all to help us. So we got stuck in one campaign level where we had to get a certain number of guests, and we could not figure out why they were just wheeling in the center. We couldn't figure out what attracts them. What do the AI of the guests go to? Do they go to attractions? Do they go to dinosaurs? We could not figure it out. And through a lot of trial and error, we finally found out that they go to viewing platforms. But if they don't have something to stop at on the way, they'll turn around and go back. So then we had to figure out how far can they go. And it's very, very nitpicky, and it needs such accurate and perfect placement of things and stats, and it's crazy.
Yeah, and then the campaign itself, the objectives are just so hard to deal with. For example, this one campaign level that we started last time we played, we just started out in this zoo that had already been built with a lot of aggressive dinosaurs, and they were all fighting in every enclosure, and we had to very, very quickly remove them from their enclosures and build new enclosures for them so that they wouldn't kill each other. We could only lose 5 dinosaurs in the beginning of this level.
And we restarted probably 6 times, because within the first 10 seconds, if you're not fast enough, you lose 3 in quick succession.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I can appreciate the challenge on one level, but that sounds pretty intense.
But it's a weird game.
But honestly, you're right. That's my bad.
I do think it's a unique game, though.
Yeah, in some ways. I've been kind of skimming over stills of the game from like a YouTube video while you've been talking about it. And
are you into it?
Yeah, I don't think I would play it. But it does actually seem like a very, it kind of makes me think of like a Sim Park Jurassic World evolution kind of, I don't know, like a very older version of that kind of thing. It definitely has like that 2000 simulator feel to it.
Oh yeah, definitely. It came out around the same time of the Dinosaur Dicks DLC for the original Zoo Tycoon.
Oh, okay.
Actually, guess who won that?
Yeah. Well, is it so? What's your recommendation? Do you recommend it broadly?
No, unless you can find a physical copy, you cannot play it because there's a copy you can get on Abandonware, but you cannot feed the animals in that version, and I don't know why.
That's weird.
Oh.
It is very weird, but it's a known error. So, I don't know. Yeah, I had to buy it. I was lucky to find it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I recommend it per se, no. But it's weird. I like weird games.
No, I've been playing any new game, or sorry, any game that I own that is pretty. So I finally got my new computer last week.
Oh, so wait. So you wanted to play pretty games? But what about the Space Marine? Wasn't that why you bought the PC?
Space Marine's pretty.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
Okay, what defines a pretty game?
Games that I couldn't run on high before I got this computer.
Okay.
So like I've been like basically it's been this like escapade of what games do I own that I think should look better than they did when I played them before, or I couldn't play them. So I've been playing. I started a new run of Cyberpunk 2077 because that game is top tier to me. Like it's just an awesome RPG, and it looks even prettier now that I can run it on ultra with ray tracing. I've been playing Space Marine 2, which is great. I'm having this mental struggle with Space Marine 2 where I love it, but there's this, the save points are pretty spaced out, and so I can't really I can play Cyberpunk for 30 minutes because of how the saves work, and a lot of the quests are like the side jobs are pretty short, and I can't play Space Marine unless I'm going to play for like an hour to an hour and a half because the missions are just really long and the save points aren't clearly spelled out. And so I gotta like if I'm going to do it, I gotta do it.
Yeah, you gotta commit to it. That's the worst part of gaming.
I know. It's Space Marine 2 is really good. It feels like a game from 2008 in the best way. It's just a lot more refined than those older school like hack and slash games used to be. So like there's just a lot of like there's combos and there's really good blocking and dodge. Like it, they clearly learned some lessons from like the Dark Souls, Sekiro type games, but they didn't take it too far. It's still like very much like a brawler, which is it's fun. And I think that fits the theme of Space Marines. It also makes you feel like a space. I don't know how familiar you guys are with like Warhammer 40K lore.
Not 40K.
But like Space Marines are like walking tanks. Like they're 8 feet tall. They're super. Like they're supposed to be like miniature Supermen. And this is the first game that really makes you feel that way. Like it's you and two other Space Marines against literally hundreds of bugs to smash. And you just you obliterate them. It's great.
Are you fighting Tyranids?
Yes. Tyranids and I think and Chaos. I thought it was going to be Chaos. Like Chaos is always there, but it's going to be mostly Tyranids. It's really good. The other game, two more mentions. I've been playing Total War Pharaoh, which I enjoy, but I enjoy all Total War games. It's like I'm biased. But they did a whole re-release of Pharaoh like 3 months ago called Dynasties. And it honestly, it's just great. Just a great, great feeling game. It's a little weird because they don't have any like cavalry, like a mainstay of Total War games, because they didn't have cavalry at that time. But they do a really good job of making the units still interact in these really cool rock, paper, scissors ways. And yeah, it's pretty sweet. But do the last, think, so, go ahead. So no, go ahead.
Just, yeah. Pharaoh has bad reviews on Steam, and that's actually chased me away from it a little bit. Do you think it's because of the no cavalry?
No. So Pharaoh, look up Total War Pharaoh Dynasties. Like, it has a whole separate Steam page.
Yeah. I know. I saw when Dynasties came out, and it looks really nice.
It is. I played Pharaoh at launch and was pretty disappointed. Because it was a $60 game, and it just didn't have very much content. Like, there was like 5 starting positions, and the units, I mean, like, I don't know if you played Troy, but like the other games set in that time period, they just don't have a lot of, like, the diversity isn't as big when you compare it to Warhammer, which like is kind of unfair. But Pharaoh makes a big deal of like, hey, your spearmen without armor are basically cavalry because they're super fast because they're really light, where your spearmen with armor are like tanky units. So like you just have to relearn where the variety and difference is, because it's not where you expect it to be.
So this is a total war. This is a total Warhammer noob question.
Yeah.
But is part of that like reception to this game, is any part of that considering that that there's been like 3 Warhammer Total Wars have come out, and like a lot of, you know, variety and different kinds of execution? Is that like, do you think that's part of why Pharaoh's was so poorly received?
I do. I think that the Total War series, the fan base used to be like history buffs. And when Warhammer came out, it pulled in this whole other audience that loves the fantasy strategy part of it, which is great. And I love the Warhammer games. But they are fundamentally going to be more diverse and goofy because they have giants and steam tanks and hot air balloons that shoot missiles on people and dragons, like, and it's magic. And like, it's by definition way more diverse. Whereas in Total War Pharaoh, I have farmers with pitchforks, and I have men with clubs, and I have men with clubs and shields, and I have men with clubs and shields and armor, and I have men with javelin. Like the variety just doesn't feel as much. But like I'm a Pharaoh apologist. Like my defense of that is like the combat honestly feels way more tactical in Pharaoh because it's all so much more grounded. Whereas like there's not a lot of tactics I'm doing in Warhammer. I'm throwing out my big spells, and then my dragons are going and eating them. Like, it's not a lot of thinking. Whereas I have to actually use battlefield tactics in Pharaoh Dynasties. Last game I want to point out as a sleeper hit, I've put maybe 10 hours into a game called Dustland Delivery, which is like a Oregon Trail meets Mad Max game. And let me tell you, it is delightful. It was $5 when I bought it. And it's just like this little, you drive your truck around, you pick up companions, when you go to a new town, you find out what goods they need and what goods they have excess of, and you do the trading, and then you drive to the next town and rinse and repeat. But then there's a whole bunch of events that can happen when you pick your route. Like, there's almost stuff that happens between the towns that are like little quick time events or little, like, there's locations you can go to, and there's also just like you get ambushed or you get stopped, you meet a trade. Like, there's all sorts of stuff like that. It's really good. It's way better than the $8 that it is at full price would suggest. And if anybody's looking for like a compact little Steam Deck game to burn away their hours, this is better than most if you're willing to learn a couple of the systems. It's not too hard, but like every system is just deeper than you think it's going to be. yeah, it's that's Dustland Delivery. Very good game.
So is it like more focused on like the narrative and like surviving to the end of like the travel, or like how much does like resource management and things like that play into it?
It is not like, it's not like Rust heavy on resource management, but like I'm always keeping an eye on, I'll say it's medium. That's a better way to say it. It's got, like, I'm always keeping an eye on how many extra tires do I have? What's my fuel at? What's my water supply at? What's my food at? All of my characters, I have to balance their hunger, their thirst, their stress, their fatigue, their, there's another one I'm missing there. There's a fifth one. And so, like, I'm always trying to make sure that they're in decent shape on all of those things. And you do different things to make them, like, to satisfy those five. Like, if you can, obviously, there's water and food for hunger and thirst. But, like, how do you de-stress your people? Oh, I can stop my truck and watch the sunset every night. But it takes, like, 90 minutes. And the longer you sit still in the wasteland, your risk meter increases, which increases the chance of, like, a monster or bandits finding and attacking you. And so it's like, do I want to stay out in the wilderness longer? Because if I do, I can de-stress my people by watching the pretty sunset. But if I stay here, I might get attacked. Do I have enough weapons? Am I good enough? Like, it's all about holding all those different things in balance. I don't know if that makes it sound more or less fun, but
the thing with these kinds of games that gets me is like, especially after you, can you name your characters? Because
yep.
Once you name a character, you're very attached very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't played in a week because I died and I got sad and upset.
Yeah.
And it was my fault. Like, I misplayed it and I could go back and load an old save, but it feels like cheating and I'm just pissed. And so it's taking me a little bit and I'm going to go start a new run soonish, but yeah.
I am for cheating. Go back and reload.
I really should. Yeah.
Just go save scum it, dude. That way
Because I can probably find a way to avoid the combat.
Yeah, see like what an alternate reality might have been for those fateful individuals.
I probably could. Maybe I'll do that now. Is that cool? Is it cool if I just play Dustland Delivery while we do this podcast?
Okay, so, well, thanks for sharing, everyone, what you've been playing. I was actually just thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about Backlog Golf and how there's not much time left before this season ends. Ooh. And I was looking back at some of the games I have that I haven't finished yet. One of them is Final Fantasy V, which I'm, like, pretty close to finishing, but I'm not there quite yet. So I don't know, as we were like talking about it and you guys were talking about like your 30 games in a month game a day challenge. Just like, all right, I need to be like thinking more about, do I want to try to beat this before then? So I'm feeling a little bit inspired. So thinking about games, the time we spend playing games, Nikki, you said you were even starting to feel like burned out.
A little bit, yeah.
On gaming and maybe especially like starting new games. Yeah, I found when I'm like super busy, and this will get us into the topic of the day, which is how we balance our hobbies, you know, with life. I found when I'm really busy, I tend to just gravitate towards like the hobby that feels, I don't know, I don't want to say coziest, but kind of, you know, the one that is most familiar and fun to me, which is playing video games. So I've been pretty busy out in the last month and a half. And that's basically the only hobby I've really made time for. So, you know, as we get busier, it's more difficult to kind of pick and choose what we want to do with our time. So what is, I guess maybe the best place to start with this question as we're thinking about balancing hobbies is, I think, a fun place to start, because I'm curious to hear from everyone. What are your hobbies outside of playing games? Do you want to start, or I can go first? Unless someone's like super excited.
Oh, I'm jacked. Just I just love. I have no hobbies other than game. No, I only play games.
I buy strategy guides from the 2000s.
I'm like the last Prima strategy guide fan. There's the guy that writes them and me that buys them.
Yep, Brady Games. Yep.
No, so I do a lot of stuff. I think the biggest item, counting it as a hobby, sounds disingenuous, but I'm a dad. I have two kids. They're 5 and 2, and I have a wife whom I enjoy quite a bit. And so the biggest thing I end up doing is I spend time with my kids. Today we wrestled for 45 minutes, and then we chased each other around the house, and then just doing really fun dad stuff.
What is dad stuff? As a not dad, obviously.
As a non-dad.
I would like to know. I would like to know what dad stuff is.
No, it's just like the most Midwest boring stuff in the world. Like tonight my wife was busy before dinner, and so I brought dinner home for the family and got everything around for that. And then after dinner, I cleaned up dinner. And then I played with the kids, and then I got them ready for bed, and we read some stories, and that stuff, like just normal, boring dad stuff. I don't know how else to say it. I do that. I mean, yeah, I have like two hobbies I would do anymore. It's I read a lot, and I play games, and I'm a dad. That's what I got.
Yeah, I feel like despite not having anything on the board in Book Club Golf.
Yes, Asara, I do. It's just that this time I picked a 1,400-page book, 1,200-page book.
Is it a Brando Sando?
Yeah, it's Rhythm of War. I just finished.
Okay, you're forgiven.
Thank you.
I started Mistborn.
I'm so proud of you.
A month ago, I read 4 pages.
I am less proud of you now.
I read it
to back to pride.
I took my daughter to the library to get her a library card and picked it out. Right, while
so
was
she
there.
Can also not read books.
Well, actually, she really likes one of them. It's the dumbest book with the worst art ever. And she just loves it. And it was, I really only got it because it was like the only board book that didn't have like visibly deteriorated sections from saliva from other kids.
This is fair.
Ew. The choice of the library.
Look, kids are freaking gross.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It just is. It's just part of it.
This is why I'm not a dad.
Yep, that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah, the only reason.
All right. Who wants to go next? All right, I'll go next. So I just love talking about hobbies.
Riveting.
I really do love hobbies. My hobby is having a lot of different hobbies sometimes. I've gone from board games to Dungeons and Dragons to mixing cocktails to smoking pipes and cigars. Currently, I am trying to play more guitar. And doing Gunpla models, which is Gundam, like mech little like action figure models that you put together.
Nice.
I'm like weirdly obsessed over it, and it's like super, super fun. That's been really fun. But yeah, gaming is probably my main one. And then there's like stuff you like have to do at home that I've like made into hobbies, like cooking. Like I could just be the guy that can like make spaghetti and leave it there, but I really enjoy getting into like the science of cooking. Like we had a Friendsgiving last week, and it was like the first time I made turkey and it was like actually not dry, and I was so proud of myself.
I'm proud of you, Chris.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, the trick was Alton Brown's from Good Eats. He has a great recipe. And the trick is just literally like blasting that thing in the oven. And then you just put foil over the breast section of the turkey. So it doesn't dry it out and burn. And that honestly, like, saved the whole thing. That, and I think the brine from the night before, but, anyway,
brining doesn't eat. Okay. I've had mixed results with brining.
I'm not convinced it does what it's supposed to do. And Kenji J. Lopez Alt from Sirius Eats in the food lab would probably agree with that. But you check that out sometime. He's got some good stuff on it. So, yeah, a lot of different hobbies. I just enjoy doing a lot of different things. And I get really obsessive over new hobbies when they start to pique my interest. So, yeah.
Oh, I can bounce off of that. Yeah, I'm definitely the type of person to have a million different weird creative hobbies and then just instantly get tired of them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. All kinds of creative hobbies. I think the only hobby in terms of that that I've kind of kept doing for the past couple of years is painting Warhammer. But I just don't... I don't do it very often because gaming is also my main hobby. Mm.
Yeah. Then,
yeah.
Do you have like a whole like painting sesh, like, and like an area where you can always be painting?
No, no, exactly. That's why, because then you have to set it all up and it just takes a lot of time and effort. And then once you get painting, you kind of just want to keep painting. But then once you finish for the day, maybe you're just, you know, you get sore in your neck and
yes,
all that. So,
yeah, I painting miniatures is a hobby I was into for a while. And I go back to it from time to time, but, and it is cool to see, like, that's one hobby. I mean, have you experienced this? It's like, the more you do it, the better your painting is. And like over time, you're like, oh, wow, I've improved so much. I always think that that's really fun with painting miniatures.
No, it's just good from the beginning. No.
Hey, you know what? I believe it. I am not artistic in that way, so I buy that.
Me neither.
I've seen your minis. They're good.
Okay, well.
They're better than anything I can do.
Yeah, but you can do so much else. You can paint stuff.
No, I can't.
Okay.
Is that one of your hobbies, Sarah, painting?
No, I can't paint. I can draw. I cannot paint.
I would say it's been a while since you've posted some illustrations in the Discord.
Yeah, I haven't been doing a whole lot of art lately. But my main hobby outside of gaming is actually bullet journaling. I don't know if everybody knows what bullet journaling is.
I was waiting for someone else to be like, what is that? But I'm just going to ask what that is. Okay. Because I don't know.
So I don't know when this came about, but the bullet journal is this kind of minimalistic, or supposed to be, mine's very much not, way of journaling your life. It's a system that was made. If you Google like how to bullet journal, you'll get the basic system. But what has happened is that a lot of creative people have turned it into a way of tracking their various things in their lives, as well as artistic expression. So I have these two massive journals, and I mean massive. They are 750 pages, I think, each of them.
Oh, wow.
And I have, every month I set up a bunch of trackers in it. So I set up, my budget is in there, but I also do like the gaming events that I'm doing that month, or if I have a savings goal, or the TV series I'm watching, or whatever. There's going to be a countdown to Christmas in the December one when I finally get it going. And it's where I do my backlog RPG that I made to try to gamify my backlog. And it's just lots and lots of markers and stickers and doodles.
Definitely a lot of stickers. Like when you came here I bet you half of the suitcase was just filled with all of this journaling stuff, like stickers and different kind of pens and books and, oh man.
Yeah, I have 3 pencil cases on the desk right now and 3 cases of stickers, and then the rest are put away. But I brought a lot because I use a lot.
What is clothes?
Who needs clothes? Stickers.
So you sort of like, that's kind of, would you call that like your productivity method for like keeping on track with like different tasks and things that you're doing?
Yes. Yep. The actual bullet journal, if you follow the minimalistic one, is very much about productivity. I do it. It wars with productivity because I feel like I can't act on something until it's in my journal, and then it takes time to put it in the journal. So that causes some trouble. But it's a big stress relief for me. So it's my main hobby. And Nikki actually tells me quite often that I spend too much time journaling and not enough time gaming.
It's true.
How long have you been bullet journaling?
I think I started in 2017. Either 17 or 18.
And you've stuck with it this whole time?
Yep. Wow. I started with these teeny tiny little thin 60-page journals that I could get from the Canadian version of Hobby Lobby, which is Michael's craft store. And then graduated up to thicker and thicker journals as I was doing more and more and needed bigger journals to last a whole year. So now I'm on these 750-page ones. Turns out that one can last 2 years, which is even better. But yeah.
Wow. So are there ever seasons in your life where it's like harder to get to that journal and like spend time on it? Or
yes.
Is it generally like, no, if I don't do this, my life is going to fall apart? Because I feel that way about my productivity, like to-do lists and kinds of things, if I don't like keep up with it.
Yeah, like if I flip back through my journal right now, my pages for May, I probably have 30 or 40 pages for May. And then November is just my budget and then like upcoming game releases. So it varies per month what I can get in there and what I want to put in there and what I'm able to commit to putting in there. So it's all over the place.
Why she tracks upcoming game releases, having a backlog of nearly 6,000 games is beyond me.
The silence is so telling.
What you don't see is that I'm over here pouting and poking my journal in the sulky kind of way. And oh, just because it's on brand for tonight, Nikki, tell them what's on the front of my journal.
It's a dinosaur skeleton.
Okay.
Just that laugh. Okay.
Yeah, I find like if I'm not organized in other areas of my life, you know, like right now I've been needing to find a dentist for my daughter. She has teeth now. You know, people grow teeth out of their gums. They just start coming out of their gums one day.
Bad life.
And yeah. I need to find her a dentist, and yep. I've been meaning to work on my own like personal spending money budget. And I use like Todoist every day to kind of like track my stuff and plan what days I'm going to do things.
I love Todoist.
Okay.
Enlighten me. What is this?
I use it in tandem with a couple other tools. But you essentially just add things that you need to get done. And then they're kind of like check boxes, and you can like check them off when you're done with it. So yeah, it's just kind of like a digital to-do list. But yeah, I find if I'm not like keeping up on a lot of like those necessary things that need done. I don't know. I just don't know that I end up spending my time the best, because I like, for me, it's not that I don't want to do those things. I just like forget to do them. So if they're not like written down, I don't do them. And then, you know, deadlines come up and it's like, oh, I have to do that today. So it's like, instead of maybe having, you know, a couple hours free in the evening, now I'm doing whatever that thing is that I need should have done a month ago. Yeah. Do you guys ever run into that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Like,
maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, of course I do.
I mean, I feel like I tend to create lists and then I never stick to them. Not only that, but like, say if I, one of my hobbies is also cooking and baking. And if I do something and then I'm not cleaning it up right away, I'm just sitting there not doing anything at all because I'm like, I have to clean the kitchen, but I also want to play a game.
Yep.
And it's just an evil circle.
That's tough.
Yeah, I do that with like appointments and stuff. If I have an appointment, I can't do anything until after it.
Mm.
Including playing games, journals, anything. I'm useless.
My wife is like that. Like if she knows she has something coming up, she's just offline until that thing is done.
Yeah. Or even like grocery shopping. I need to grocery shop today, so I can't do anything before I do that. But then I don't want to go right now because there's so many people over there.
Like, yeah, it's a dilemma. I have that too. Do you ever like, maybe this is what you all have already just said, but like, yeah, if I have an appointment, I think you said this is hard, but if I have an appointment, it's like at 2 p.m. on a Saturday. I used to have this a lot more when it was just Katie and I before we had kids, but. It would be really hard to want to do anything in the day, like definitely not go anywhere because that thing is coming up. For whatever reason, it was always just hard to, I don't know, like do something before that. I don't know why that is. Is there like you science behind that or something?
It's an ADHD thing.
Ah.
Yeah. Something to do with like the warring of needing to do something in your head that you can't start up another task because all of your high level functioning is focused on this thing you need to do later. I don't know. I do know that when I've Googled it, that's what's come up.
Yeah.
So what you're saying right now is that Andrew is the normal person here.
Well, that's not true. I just, it sounds like you three are like leaning ADHD and I'm just leaning autism. And
oh, me too.
And it just lends me to being more like organized and standard and focused, dare I say hyper focused.
I mean, there's been a number of times this last year I'll be talking to you about something and you'll be like, I really only see it this way, and then you're like, I wonder if I'm a little bit autistic. Like, you've said that a number of times.
And it's like it's a spectrum for a reason. It's like it's a whole thing.
I also feel like once you reach a point in your life where you just know how to handle yourself, it doesn't matter anymore what kind of diagnoses you have.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And my family over Easter this past year, we all found and took an online autism test. Because I thought that'd be funny. And I was in first place, baby. Heck yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was out of 30. And it's like, it's an online test. Like, I would not put any stock in this.
Sure.
But it was out of 30, and I got a 19. And I was like, pretty high. And the rest of my family was like 8, 10, 12, 19. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Nikki, you're saying that like it doesn't matter too much like as you get older. And I like agree with that too. I think something that is I think I agree with it, but at the same time, when I sort of rediscovered in my adulthood that I was like, oh yeah, I like, this is the most ADHD thing ever. I forgot I had ADHD when I was a kid, like severely. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's why my wife and I have these issues. That's why I have these issues with work. That's why I have these issues with these people, whatever. Like everything just kind of fell into place. And I was like, oh my gosh, this all makes so much more sense to me now. So I think like knowing that was like kind of half the battle, if that makes any sense.
That makes sense. Yeah, it does. But I just also feel like once you like, I don't know, speaking as a young person, I guess, once you get to know yourself, you just kind of know how to handle these things and you know how to deal with your own problems kind of interfering with relationships and other kind of relations you have with friends and family.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because it's like, it's like, on one hand, yeah, there might be certain characteristics that are like, I don't know, you might associate them with someone who has ADHD or autism or take your pick of whatever neurological thing. But at the end of the day, it's like, no, this is how I relate to people. I've learned that over the years. This is how I relate to people. So it's like kind of what you're saying, right? It's like you can learn, okay, this is how I should start responding. Because that like makes a lot of sense to me. It like helps people around me to feel like known and cared for, that sort of thing. And that's like, you might not. Yeah.
Well, that's like, yeah, like, that's how Shannon and I are with, especially with ADHD more, is like she's never been diagnosed or never anything like that. But she has a lot of the same traits. And so like she'll send me Instagram reels on how to interact with someone with ADHD. And she's like, hey, if you do this, it'll be helpful. And it's like, well, yeah, it doesn't, like at some point, it doesn't matter if she quote unquote has ADHD or not.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, interacting with me in this way is really helpful for the way I'm wired. Like, oh, that's what I need to know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, even if you don't know whether or not you have it or not, if the tools online that you can find makes sense to you, use them.
Yeah.
Nobody's gatekeeping anything.
Yeah, for sure.
How does that work out for you all? Like, maybe this is a question more for myself, Nikki, and Asara rather than Andrew, but I find, man, I think it hits me the hardest, especially because I really, really hyper focus on things. It might be, you know, 11 p.m. and it's like, okay, I could go to bed early, but I am pretty confident there's only 3 hours left or maybe even 2 hours left in this Final Fantasy V game. If I just like stay up, I can beat this. There's a big plot point. I'm like really interested to know what happens next. I want to see how this resolves. I've been in a situation before where I thought that at like, you know, 10 p.m., lo and behold, it's 2 a.m. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to like wake up and work in the morning and this game is still not over. I don't know if that's a common experience, but I've run into that kind of thing before. Have any of you all, does that like resonate with any of you all?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, it just like, I don't know, I just find I can like super hyper focus on things sometimes. And I don't know, it's better for me to have like boundaries around that instead of it just like happening.
Yeah.
So to go back on topic, would you say that means that you just don't balance your hobbies? You just get sleep deprived instead?
I think that's kind of where I was going with it. Like, I think it's helpful to have boundaries so that you can be like, no, you know what? I can like come back and finish this tomorrow night, or you know, a hard cutoff time at midnight or whatever your schedule is. If you're like super sleepy at 9 p.m., you know, it's whatever you got to do. But, well, I guess to you all, it would be what? Um, 1900 hours? Is that 1000 hours?
Incredible.
Is that right? Is that how you do it?
1900 is seven.
So wait, if you're like, hey, you want to go to dinner? You don't say, you know, you want to go to dinner tonight. You say like, you want to go to dinner at 1800?
No, nobody says that.
Why would they say that?
Well, I mean, that's what time it is, right?
No, I mean, in speech, we usually just say at 8 or at 6. Oh. But we just don't add the AM or PM. But then if you, like, chat with somebody and you text them, you would usually either use just 8 because they know that you wouldn't eat dinner at 8 in the morning, or you would say, yeah, like 20:00.
Interesting. Well, I'm dumb.
Yeah, I think the most of the, you don't say 1800 if you're referring to that time in that way. You would just say 18. You wouldn't say 1800.
Interesting.
Yeah, or 1820 if it was 20 minutes past.
Well, I feel like I've learned something new here.
I'd say so.
I was going to ask, like, if boundaries are a thing that have been helpful for you all, but Andrew, I know that you typically, I don't even know that you'd call this a boundary, but I feel like whenever we're playing Deadlock at night, you're always really good about being like, all right, I'm going to play one more. And then we, like, play it. And then very, very rarely can I be like, oh, I'm only play one more game. You know, you're usually like, stick to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think that's just because I have a job life where I'm not. Well, not like Chris works from home for himself. Like, he's a small business owner. Like, I am not. I work for a hospital. I have to be there to a certain time. Like, it's just like, yeah, I only do that. I used to not do that. I don't know if you remember this, Chris, but like when we first started playing games, I technically had to be at work at the same time, like way back in the Overwatch days.
Mm-hmm.
And you would trick me into playing until like 1:30 in the morning on a Tuesday regularly.
Yes. Yeah, sounds about right. I don't really remember that, but.
Yeah. And then I would show up to work an hour and a half late and just hope for the best.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I was a youth pastor at the time, and we had a meeting on, I remember this vividly. We had a 10 a.m. meeting on a Monday morning that I was late for. And my boss, after the meeting, was like, okay, dude, what? You were literally 2.5 hours late. Like, what's going on? I was like, I'm sorry. I missed my alarm.
I'm sorry. I was playing Overwatch till 2 a.m.
I'm an S-tier Zarya, all right? I'm so good with those bubble shields. You don't even know.
Those were good days. Oh my gosh, those were good days.
They were. But yeah, no, I think for me, like I've learned limits around balancing game with like hobbies and life painfully. Like in college, I don't know if you knew this, Chris. In college, I had to take my gaming computer home. Every semester, I took my gaming computer home 4 weeks before the end of the semester. Because the first semester of my freshman year, I almost failed.
Oh, wow.
Because I, like...
Because of bleed?
Yes. And I had friends that played... Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. League sucks. But... but, like, it just was, like, my parents had a talk with me. I'm like, look, you don't have to go to college, but if you're going to do it, you should probably do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, like, that... I had to take my computer home because I would not focus or do what I was there for. That's the only reason I have any semblance of balance now.
So you learned it the hard way.
Yeah, that's a long way of saying I learned it the hard way.
I feel like that's generally been my experience too. Like, it was a lot. I've always stayed up late my entire life. So I'll probably die at a really young age. But okay. I think that it was way more doable as a small business owner. It was doable even when I was working for someone and I had to go in the office. After having kids, my boss, I could be like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. I can't walk into my screaming daughter's room who wants breakfast and be like,
hey, babe,
could you lay back down? Could you just close your eyes and and just let daddy sleep. No, that obviously doesn't work. So yeah, there's been times I've gotten in bed kind of late a couple nights the last few months, and Katie wakes up and she says, she's asleep, and she'll go, "You're dumb. I came to bed too late." Oh, you're real Katie. Dumb. I don't know. She's mumbling like, "I don't know why you did that." Just so funny.
I love that. God bless Katie.
So, yeah. So maybe to wrap up this conversation, then, I think this would be a good go around. But like, what is maybe the most helpful tip, or like, what's the thing that has like helped you? Andrew, you kind of already answered this, but like, well, yeah. What's the thing that's like helped you most to see like, oh, it's good for me to balance my hobbies, and this is why. What's that answer for everyone?
I mean, I can go first because I don't have one. I will get into periods where I am obsessed with one hobby and that is all I will do. And then I will burn out on it and move to the next one. And I don't have any advice because I haven't figured that out myself yet.
That's a good, honest answer.
Yeah, it's true.
What's been like the thing that has made you say like, oh, I wish I had more balance in hobbies? Or are you like, you know what? I really enjoy like the way that I do things and live life.
No, every now and then I'll get into this little kind of like sad period where I feel like I'm not accomplishing anything. And then I just kind of spiral a bit until I manage to get myself in order a little bit, and then it'll repeat again in a month or two. So it's mostly just kind of coming to terms every now and then with the fact that I can't do everything I want to. So I have to just kind of enjoy what I can while I can.
Yeah. I've been filling that with my backlog this year. I'm not going to play all these games. I got to be picky.
I haven't learned that lesson yet. No matter how much people try to drill it into my head, I still am determined that I am going to beat all the games in my backlog.
Well, no more sleep for you, it seems.
Until you're 80.
I don't think that's enough.
No, that's not enough.
No. Oh, man. I do feel bad because like I want to... I want you to play Dustland Delivery. Like, I legitimately want to recommend it to you because I think you would love it. Also, I'm like, but I don't want to tell her about any games because I don't want her to buy anymore.
I have resisted so much in getting that game. It has been in my cart in Steam like 4 times, and I keep putting it out because I'm like, I'm not going to play it right now. I will get it when I'm ready to play it.
Well,
this is a good way to think about it.
I hope that arrives someday.
It might Christmas time. We'll see. I'll have a bunch of time off, so maybe.
I mean, I think that's how we learn a lot of times. We have to get like our butt kicked, our face curb stomped in order to like understand, oh, I shouldn't do it that way anymore. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, especially since having kids, just like the threshold for free time shrinks so much. And yep. It's a very good thing, even though it's like, you were talking about dad stuff earlier. Literally everything you talked about was like playing with kids, reading a book, making dinner, cleaning up dinner. It's like, they're very like life-giving things for children and build like a beautiful life for them. But man, they get so monotonous.
Yep.
And I think it's like, I don't know. It's like, I think I've definitely come to appreciate the end of the daytime a lot more, like as it gets closer. And not that it's something that I'm like, you know, at full froth, like go to bed, putting you to bed 30 minutes early because I need to play Deadlock because a new patch came out today. It's, I think it might have dropped, but yeah, like occasionally I'll, I know, yeah, you try to play Deadlock. Yeah, like I'll occasionally feel that, but I think, like, I don't know, something I started doing, I think, like a year ago, was like trying to sort of plan when I was going to do different things. And it doesn't always work out, but like, if I have some sort of plan, like, hey, tonight I'm going to make sure that I like read another chapter in that book I've been working on, or I'm going to finish that Lego set that has been sitting there, that Bendham models have overtaken. You know, just kind of like planning stuff in advance, I think, has been a little bit helpful for me. It makes that like end of day time a little bit more meaningful. But
yeah,
I was actually just about to ask that, because I'm not a very busy person at all. But I find that when I am in a busy period of my life, I tend to get more done when I actually have some free time, because I can plan it. And I was wondering about, like, is that true for you guys when you just are always busy because children?
Yeah, Chris, you can answer as well, but absolutely. I look at how much I get done in a week now that I have, like, I'm in the most demanding job I've ever been in. I have two kids. I have a wife. I'm really involved. Like, I volunteer a lot of my time. Like, I get way more done because I'm more disciplined with my time than I ever used to. Like, I look back at my life when it was just Shannon and I, and I was working a part-time job and going to school, and I'm like, did I just play League for 7 hours a day? Where'd my time go? Like, what? But, yeah.
100%. When I was single, I used to work at a camp and retreat center that Andrew actually almost worked at, and it's a good thing he didn't, because we would have just played StarCraft all day, every day.
I'm so sad I didn't, man. Honestly,
it would have been so fun. I think different life trajectories would have happened for us both. I mean, I, like, you were just talking about like playing League for 7 hours. Like, yeah, I would get done with my tasks for the day, be done at like sometimes at like 3, go back to the house and play Mountain Blade Warband for, like 9-10 hours. And go to bed at 3 a.m., whatever. And that was just normal. I don't know. And now it's like, yeah, the reason I have to do Todoist is because if I don't, I won't get important things done, like getting our health insurance set up for 2025. And these are like all the things I know that are in the back of my head because they're on the Todoist. But yeah, I think it's like, I don't know. I try to work really hard to not wear busyness as like a badge of honor. Cause I've been in communities where that's the case. And it's like, I think it can be really destructive. And I think, I don't know. It's like, we have a limited amount of time in the day to do good with and to like use that time well. And I think I'm still learning a lot about that. I'm not by any means an expert. I agree with what you're saying, that like you can get more done when you have less time because you sort of like use it better, or it's like, you know, you should use it better, maybe is the right way to say it.
I've been silent because I just don't know what to say, because I don't balance hobbies at all.
Yeah.
Like at all.
balance them because you like, you just have one hobby, or because you just like don't think about it or to need to?
I have so many times tried to like lay out how much time I could spend like in my free time, and how, and then compare it to how little time I actually spent doing the things that I like doing. And I just get sad every time, and I don't know how to fix it, because every time I don't know what to play, or I don't know what to do, or, you know, I just sit there waiting for this idea to pop into my head, like, oh, this is what you want to do. It can take a while.
So you sort of have like analysis paralysis of hobbies sometimes, as opposed to like the classic, like looking at your list of games and not knowing what to play.
I think analysis paralysis is just my life. So, yeah. Definitely.
Well, I have no idea how to cure it, so.
Me neither. Thanks.
On that note, I'd like to just touch on some housekeeping stuff with the server. The last time we last time I wrote these notes down, we were in the middle of Backlog Golf, which is not the case now. It's almost over. So it will be ending. I'm going to do my very best to get this episode live tomorrow, the 22nd. We will see if that happens or not. So we'll have about a week left, especially with, like, well, at least in the US here, we'll have the Thanksgiving holiday. What is coming up after Backlog Golf?
Bash.
The Backlog Bash.
Yep.
Have we put any info out on that? Or is it still like top secret?
We want to do some teasers during this upcoming week, I think. So, yeah.
I guess the one thing we can say is that people will see some events returning from the dead. Take into that as much theory crafting as you wish.
Ominous.
Yeah, the server's been a little quiet, I think, in November. And I think it's sort of like probably like starting to get to like end semester stuff for people in school. It just sort of like, I don't know, I think getting excited for holidays and whatnot. So I'm excited to inject some new backlog juice into the system. So,
well, I am hyped for this event. I tell you that it's going to be good. It's if anybody listening to this has been there through the previous bash events that we've held during December, it's I keep thinking we can't do better than this. And then
we come up with new ideas.
Yep.
Yeah, the Backlog Bash is like easily the coolest thing we do all year. It's changed throughout. It's changed over time, but like, it really is. I feel like it's sort of like a celebration of the server and like all the fun different things we do throughout the year. And it's like the most fun time of the year, at least for me. So it's like really exciting. Yeah. So we have that coming up. How's Backlog Golf going?
It's good. It's a little quieter this season from everybody. Like, I know Meowth, who helps out a lot, has been really busy with school and stuff. I don't have a good reason other than I've just got a lot going on. But I've only scored one book. Luckily, it was a very big book. But it's still going on. It's going good. That ends at the end of December. We're not doing like any special things. We're just doing like 3-month chunks. So. Read your books. Put down your games. Read your books.
Yeah. Stop gaming and start reading.
Yeah.
Backlog Club is currently playing. Was this the last week of Outer Wilds?
Yes. There should be going a new one up to tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. I think.
But yeah. Outer Wilds, what now? And please join, because there's not a lot of chatter going on this time around. And I really want to play this, but I have not bought it yet. And I might do that once we get out of the season of golf. I'm excited.
My Backlog Club note is I played Blasphemous between today and our previous episode. And I think you guys had just wrapped it in Backlog Club. So I was able to like go back and read what people were talking about it. And I fell into this stupid trap of missing out on getting like the 100% easier because of a very simple thing that you can miss very easily. But it was fun to be able to like read what people were saying about it. And yeah, I don't know. I just really enjoyed being able to be a part of it in that way. So it was fun. And you guys have talked about the Game a Day challenge. So
it's not over yet. So if somebody wants to still do it, they can just go ahead. I mean, I think the idea was that we would do it during golf, but I don't see why somebody wouldn't be able to do it during December if they wanted to.
Yeah, it's a self-driven challenge. So if anybody wants to do it at any time, they can.
Well done.
All right. Well, and with that, we've reached the end of the episode. Thank you for listening. Rate and review us on Spotify, iTunes. Wow, iTunes. I guess it's on Apple Podcasts now.
Any, was this 2010?
Any Podstitcher that you use. And yeah, we'll be back in the midst of the holiday season. Check out the server if you're interested in the new season, or the new season, the new Backlog Bash event, which will be launching soon. And with that, thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
User has left the channel.